Well, would you have your Bibles open at the book of Ecclesiastes? I'm going to read the last part of the 11th chapter, and then I'm going to read on into chapter 12. Really, our consideration this morning is the end of chapter 11, but mainly the beginning of chapter 12. So chapter 11, verse 9 says this: "You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them,' before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark, and the clouds return after the rain, when the keepers of the house tremble, and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed, and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire no longer is stirred, then people go to their eternal home, and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed, and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring, and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless." Well, as the saying goes, every good thing comes to an end. And here we are at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. We've come to the 12th chapter. Someone said to me a few weeks ago, "When it's over, Andrew, I'll really miss it." And I want to say thank you for that. It tells me how relevant, how of the moment the book of Ecclesiastes really is. So allow me once more just to introduce this subject to you. A man or a woman or a young person who lives only for this life, just maybe 50, 60, 70, 80 years, that person is center stage in the book of Ecclesiastes. It's essentially about you. It's about someone who only has a secular life. No room for God, there is no God. There's only this life under the sun. And it's only when Koheleth gets out, and as it were, he goes above the sun, and he looks from God's advantage, that you can see things differently. And so Koheleth says, "Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, meaningless, completely meaningless," just as we have read it in the first chapter. Life is just a chasing after the wind. He said that there was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. That's how it's put. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. And I ask you this morning, is that what life is? A wisp, a puff of smoke, just a vapour? Because in effect, when you look at life, that's what it looks like it is. A mere breath, nothing that you can lay your hands on. We rise up and in a moment, we are gone. And as Koheleth says, remembered no more. This world under the sun is meaningless. And even if we don't grasp it today, and we won't hear what is being said, and we stop our ears, I can't bear to hear what is being said, we might not take it on board today. But one day, we will have to admit that it is right, even if we don't admit it right now. Now, at the close of chapter 11, you can read it for yourselves. The teacher says, to those who are young, so it's back to the young. He says youth and vigour are meaningless. And you might wonder why he says that. And the reason he says, obviously, this is because when we are young, we can't imagine anything but youthfulness. It's all we've ever known. And it's not that he wants to take away the joy and the happiness of being young, but what he's saying is that youthfulness passes. It is fleeting. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. And that's why I said to all the young people last week, go and talk to older people and they will tell you. They'll tell you how fast their youth went, how quickly it disappeared, how fleeting it all is. And of course, as I've pointed out to you, death comes to the young as much as it comes to the old. And while we don't want to think of it, and we don't want to care ourselves with it, it is unfortunately a reality. Youth and vigour are meaningless in this sense that it does not last. And of course, young people and older folk alike will know very well how often you'll see older men and older women trying to dress as if they were once young. Men are trying to look as if they were 20 years younger than they really are. Can you imagine me trying to do it? It would be a hopeless task. It couldn't be done. But people try to do it. Of course they do, because they're clinging on to some youthfulness. I remember it so well, and it was so precious. But you see, to that person, it has gone. And no matter how they dress like an 18-year-old, if they're 50, they'll never look 18. Can't be done. It is unique. And so he says, for youth and vigour are meaningless. And so now we can see how he presses home his emphasis on this point. And it's for everyone, of course, to heed what is being said. But you can see the address is so clearly to those who are in their youthfulness. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And I read to you last week from the NET Bible. The NET Bible says, don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. And the thing that's characteristic of being youthful, of course it is that we have very few cares. All of us who were once youthful, we remember it, we had very few cares, few things to weigh us down. And that is why it is very important for adults to listen carefully now, that the young people should not be weighed down with anxieties that belong to you, the bills that you have to pay, the struggles that you have perhaps. You don't need to burden them with anxiety. Of course you don't, because they want to be carefree and free when they're young. What is it to be carefree? To be free of care. That's the mark of being young. Young people want to explore. Of course they do. They want to do dangerous things. They want to take risks. Which, of course, when we get older, that's why you find older people. They look at young people and they say, why are you taking so many risks? You mean the same risks that you took when you were a child? That's exactly it. Isn't it? Of course it is. And so the young often seek excitement. Don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. And the danger is that in all of the excitement of youth, the pursuit of excitement, we'll forget that there is a God at all. We won't have mentioned him, we won't have thought of him, we won't have prayed, we won't have done anything. And we will not specifically, listen specifically, we will not have thought of him as our Creator. And that is what the text says. Remember, it doesn't say remember God. It says remember your Creator. And I want to take you through some thoughts now about Creator. He wants the young to acknowledge that they have a Creator. And I say this to everyone, that this is really worthy of our attention, because I think that this truth of God as the Creator is minimized, and I fear it is even minimized in the believing evangelical church, where it is said that we hold it so dear. And yet in conversation, how often do people speak of God as the Creator? And I wonder if the church, I do wonder this, if the church is losing its touch and its connection with God as the Creator, I wonder if there is even possibly a fear at work in the life of the church today about recognizing and speaking openly to people about God as Creator. And in many Christian writings, sadly, God is a creator only, listen to me, only as one who is recognized in Genesis, in the Genesis account. And I want to say to you all, I think that this is woeful. It's woeful for the church. It's limited. It's absolutely dreadful. Yes, God created all things. He created the universe, and if there are universes of universes, he created them. He made the stars, boys and girls. He made the sun and the moon and the planets, and he made the creatures. And he made all things. The plant life, the earth with its stores of wonders untold that we sing of in the hymn. And so I say, surely the church, can't the church exult? Can't it learn to exult in such a truth as God as Creator? And a word for everyone who is a Christian believer. Let us not be ashamed at work, with friends, with family, to let it be known that we believe in God as our Creator. For the young people this morning, to think of God as the Creator is almost certainly the starting place. It begins there. Just listen. Just listen to the Apostle Paul writing in his letter to the Romans. And I'll put it into context if it's helpful to you. I've told you before, when I was a boy, I was born at Cartworth Moor, right at the top of the Pennines, with a view of Holme Moss. So in all of its snow at the moment, all that beauty. And that was before me every day. Now, before I'd had a single lesson as a child in school about God, because of what I could see, this is not amazing. I actually believed that there was a Creator. I concluded in my childhood there must be a Creator. Now listen to the Apostle Paul and what he says in his letter to the Romans. Forever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and the sky. That's easy. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. And then he says this, but they traded the truth about God for a lie. They traded it. So they worshipped and served the things God created instead of the Creator himself. They worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. And so Paul says, if you don't believe, you're without excuse. You've got the sky to look at, and you've got the earth beneath your feet. But this is the truth, and you can listen carefully now. The thing that we do, because you see, actually, we're all worshippers. Everyone in this room is a worshipper. You either worship the things that God has created, or you worship him himself. So actually, there's someone in this room this morning who is a worshipper of money. For certain, there'll be someone here. Or a worshipper of houses. Or a worshipper of children. Or cars. Or possessions. Or achievements. And I could go on and on. This is natural religion. Because man is intrinsically a worshipper. He needs to worship. And so what he does is he worships rather than the Creator who makes demands on him. He worships the things essentially of his own hands. And you know what would deliver us from being such worshippers? It would be to worship the Creator. So stand back one day and have a good look at the sky. Stand back, young people, and have a good look at the earth that God has made. Stop just for a moment. Some nights after the Bible study in the summer, I've driven from here, and I've driven past my home, and I've gone up to Emily, and I parked the car, and I just stood and looked at the sunset. I've seen hundreds of them, if not thousands. But I know that there's one there, and I go and I take it in. And I worship the God who created all these things. And it might be that the young people now, whose minds are so focused inside computers and computer games and the rest of it, that you might not see the world that God has created, and you might miss him as creator. How important for me to say these things this morning and almost to plead with you. But listen up, this is also really important. Don't just think of God as a creator in Genesis 1. And I say this particularly for Christians. Because God is creative. He is a creator because he is creative. His act of creation comes out of his being that is creative. Look how creative God is. Just imagine if we had have created all the fruits in the world or all the leaves on the tree. We'd have probably been happy that we could have made leaves on a tree. But God makes such a rich variety. He doesn't justify oranges being orange. He just makes them orange. And apples are a great rich variety of colours, and all the fruits and all the plants. This is the variety of the creative God that we believe in. And then because we are made in his image, look at the extrapolation, it's beautiful. Because we're made in his image, we are creative. What an extraordinary thing this is. Those of you who don't believe in God, all you have to look at is the creative nature of man. Where did he get it from? Where did it spring from? And the vast variety of man's inquisitive desire to be creative. You'll hear someone say, and they must have done when they saw a young Mozart, they must have said when they observed him, where did he get it from? And you know, you'll hear people say that, and they mean, you know, where is it in the family, from which side? And the mother will say, oh, it's from my side. Or the father will say, oh, it's from my side. Where did he get it from? I'll tell you where he got it from. He got it from the God who made him. Because God is creative, and there is a creative line that runs through mankind. And you know what? We might sow a lasting seed in the lives of the young people just by stressing this great truth of the creativity of God. I'll tell you this personally now. It is with great sadness that I have to say that for 4 decades I have witnessed the church. This is the people of God. These are Christians. I have witnessed their coldness toward creative things. How could this be possible when our God is a creator? And so often amongst Christians you will find that culture is sadly rejected. And the church looks like a bunch of Philistines. Of course it does. All is utilitarian. Let me appeal to the young people. You'll find this. If you show people, let me just show you how this works. You show people a work of art, and almost the first thing that they say is, what is it for? For nothing. Can't there be things that are for nothing? Does everything have to be utilitarian? Otherwise God would have made all the fruits look orange, and all the leaves on the tree would have been the same. But they're not. And if we could capture something of the creative God in the life of the church, what might we be able to sow into the lives of young people? Learn to appreciate God as the creator. And you cannot deny this is certainly where Koheleth begins in his reasoning with young people. Remember your creator in the days of your youth. And if I've done something this morning to sow into the lives of just one young person, from here on in, for the rest of their lives, to think about their Creator, then all that has been done this morning in the ministry of God's word will have been worth it. I just have one final word about remember, and it is for those who serve in the life of the church, in the work with young people, the work in Bible class, the work of the youth work, the work of Sunday group, and so on. We can do much, I think, to remind the young people through all the services that we offer in the work of young people. Remind them of their Creator God. We can do it. And you can't just do it on, you don't only have to do it, you can't just do it only on glorious sunny days when you can stand with them and admire the creation. You can do it on the rainy days and you can talk about the provision that God gives. What about when the snow sparkles with all of its beauty on the ground? You can do it then. What about the extraordinary wind that so mystically was whistling around the houses, certainly in Skelmanthorpe, last night, with all of its power? You can talk about it. What I'm saying is that we need to talk about God as Creator whenever we get a chance. When the daffodils bloom, when the leaves come out and when they drop their leaves, when we see the splendour of the rainbow, when we look at the glory of all of creation, when the sun rises and when it sets, we need to stop. Stop. In all of the busyness of all that we're doing, stop. And in stopping, remember our Creator. This is my final word on this point for the young people. This is the beginning. Because you have to believe that God exists. Because nobody can come to God unless they believe that He exists. And He presents Himself at the very beginning. Yes, you would say, as a sovereign, loving and gracious and kind God, all of these things. But He presents Himself first of all with these credentials. And He says, I am your Creator. And so if I were offering some advice to you, it would be like this. You could admire God in countless different ways. And you could remember Him in countless different ways. You could remember Him just by giving yourself maybe once a day or once every couple of days, young people, to consider His word. You'll remember Him as Creator through His word. You'll remember Him in His providence because you'll be able to observe it. You'll be able to remember Him in His wisdom by admiring it, and His sovereignty by bowing before it. And you'll be able to remember Him because of His faithfulness in relying on it. And you'll be able to remember Him in His kindness by being thankful for it. There is so much that you can do, that you can begin to do as a young person, in thinking about God as the Creator. I'm going to quote the words of the psalmist, Psalm 139. I'm going to quote it not in the NIV, but in the NET Bible. He reveals to us our uniqueness, that we are, as the old version says, fearfully and wonderfully made. And in our times, with everything available to us, how we are able to look at how fearfully and wonderfully made we are. These were things that were said before microscopes, before everything that's available to us today. What possibility is before us to say how fearfully and wonderfully made we are? Listen to what the NET Bible says. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Parents, when your teenagers complain to you and say, I am complex, don't complain to them. You'll be able to say, yes, I remember that. The scripture says, we are made so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvellous. How well I know it. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. I hope that what's been said might stay with the young people for the rest of their lives. Now I want to say something very quickly about what I touched on last week regarding days. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. The point is that your youth only lasts a matter of days. So don't miss these opportunities that you've got to believe in God. Because you see, what youthfulness often says is youth is for pleasure, middle age is for business, and old age is for settling down. And then maybe what I'll do, I'll be able in old age to come to the question of religion and faith. And that'll be the time for me to consider these things. But I want to reason with you. All the young people, do you remember I said to you last week, you can look at me, you don't have to be embarrassed. It's only in your youthfulness that you have some measure of certainty of life. You might not make it to middle age. You might not make it to old age. Millions don't. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. All things considered, in your youth you have your best years. Look, I'll reason with you. Just watch a footballer. Most of you know about David Beckham, right? So if you want a really great footballer, think about David Beckham. You all have seen him, of course you have. Watch him at 18, which I did, and then watch him at 33. At 33, he is virtually put out to grass. And you bring a young 18-year-old gifted footballer to play alongside David Beckham, and he doesn't stand a chance. The young 18-year-old runs him off the pitch, because by 33... he is an has-been. He is, as it were, as a footballer, finished. His days were very few, and that's the point, the days. Remember your Creator in the days. It's the days for choosing to do the best things for yourself. And I would say to all of you, to the young people, be careful who claims these days of yours. Be careful who it is who asks you for these days, where they put so much into your mind and into your lives. Be careful who claims your service. In the coming days, and I have an opportunity not to breach confidence, but in the coming days, I wonder how many of the young people will continue to come to church. At Christmas, whole group of young people came to my house and we spent some time together. And one of the things that I asked the young people is, where do you see yourselves in 2 years' time? Do you think you'll still be coming to Trinity Evangelical Church? I asked them honest question. And I was so pleased to hear that most of them said, I think I'll still be coming in the future. But I'm warning you. It's very likely that a day will come when you will say, I find no pleasure in these things. Verse 1 of chapter 12. The years will approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. And you can trust me when I say that I have seen young people come and go and come and go to this church, and many of them did not remember their Creator in the days of their youth, and they are gone. And wonderfully, there were some of them who said in their youthfulness, I will think of my Creator and they were saved by the grace of God. And I say to all of you this morning that every day, I'm speaking about days now, every day that is lost, it means that we are further away from God, and almost certainly we are moving into a place where our hearts become hardened. And as I look out on the faces this morning, I wonder, in the future, if I'm still here, will I be able to see those faces here in the church? When we're older, young people, and we're more established in years, it's really hard to shift people because they've become devoted to habits that they cannot break and will not give up. Their lives are fixed in concrete. At the moment, you are very flexible. If George comes out to the front now and bends from the knees, he'll be so flexible. Oh, how I envy it. And I can bend from the knees, but not so flexible. I used to be, believe it, George, I really did. You see, as the years go on, we become inflexible. We can't shift. And even when you tell people of the day of judgment and an eternity of hell, of God's wrath against sin, people are unmoved. They're fixed in concrete. Mind and body will not change. And do you know what? I recommend this. Those people who are in this room this morning who became Christians in later life, do you know what they all say? Oh, I wish I'd have become a Christian earlier in life. Oh, I wish I'd have known about the gospel when I was younger. Oh, I wish I could have known the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ as I know it now when I was younger. But the years have gone by. This is my final word then to all of you. One final word. You won't mind my pointing finger. It's you. It's you. It's you who must remember your Creator in the days of your youth. It's you. You must remember him. It doesn't matter if she doesn't over there or he doesn't over here. What matters is that you remember him. You remember your Creator. Someone says, my brother and my sister in my family don't remember him. Don't bother about that. You remember him. My friend at school doesn't remember. Don't worry about her. You remember him. All the people in my family don't remember him. Don't bother about them. You remember him. You do what you must do. And I promise you that this is the beginning, because it goes beyond acknowledging that God is the Creator, and it leads on to knowing God as your Lord and Saviour. So in youth, and there's plenty of youth here this morning, you can be saved just like anyone else. May this message reach out to us all, but particularly to the young people, so that while it is today, while it's still today, while you have had an opportunity to listen to the Word of God and to consider it, while it is today, what does the Scripture say? Do not harden your heart. While it is today. So young people, Koheleth addresses you. And in the next few weeks, I'll show you how he reasons and argues from older life to persuade you to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. May God speak to us, young and old alike, and persuade our hearts of the great truth of what Koheleth says to us. God bless his word to us. Amen. Amen.